Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz to Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
Why are you saying it like that?
I don't know.
And today we will be continuing our Austin-a-thon, our Jane Austen marathon for those who are not in the know. And we will be continuing it with adaptations of Pride and Prejudice. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, I'm sorry.
Yeah, not Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. We're not doing any of the other variations on it because there are just so many adaptations of the straight Pride and Prejudice. And so we have, I guess, spoilers. If you've not watched Pride and Prejudice or read the book or whatever, I am sorry. because we're going to do, everything we can do to let you know which adaptations are worth watching, but that's not going to help you if you've never seen an adaptation. So there you go. We also there's going to be cursing because Mrs. Bennet and Lydia induce cursing. It's a thing. And we are having things to drink. What are you having to drink, Natalie?
I'm having Underwood Rosé Bubbles.
What are you having? You picked glassware for it, though. Why did you pick the glassware?
Yes, everybody but you. It's the vibe Elizabeth gives off during the entire plot. I hate everybody but my sister Jane.
That's fair. That is fair. So I am having something I am calling Mrs. Darcy. For the Austin-a-thon, I had been doing some things out of the Regency Book of Drinks because, of course, that's the thing. I was going to do all the mocktails, and I'm still going to do that. We have 6 movies, but only 4 mocktails in the book. Because Pride and Prejudice is probably our favorite, I decided to create this thing that I'm calling Mrs. Darcy. I used some proportions from one of the mocktails, so it's kind of like that. It's the one that's called Pampered Lapdog. What I put in this is 1.5 ounces of raspberry puree, 1 ounce of Chambord, 1 ounce of lime juice, and topped it with Prosecco. And it's really tasty. It makes me happy. And I'm not quite incandescently happy, but we'll take it.
Yeah. So let's get into a very brief plot synopsis of Pride and Prejudice for those, again, not in the know. A wealthy bachelor, Charles Bingley, moves to town, and the Bennet girls, Jane, Elizabeth, Mary, Kitty, and Lydia, are thrown at him by their ambitious mother. Bingley falls in love with Jane, but her shyness and the meddling of his sister and friend keep them apart. Elizabeth meets the mysterious Mr. Darcy, Bingley's friend, and they think the other are the last person they would ever marry. Their lives become intertwined, and their love grows from there.
Yes.
And he has Pride and she has Prejudice.
And depending on the adaptation, you're going to hear about that a lot. There are other side characters. We will mention them. There are some basic events in every one of these adaptations.
There will be spoilers.
Right. And there are going to be some that are mysteriously absent.
And if you haven't watched or list or read or whatever, any versions of Pride and Prejudice, you're going to get pretty lost when we're doing our notes. So There is required reading in a way. Not reading, but watching.
Required
knowledge of the basic plot and characters and such so that you can keep up with us. Yeah. Because we're so far ahead of you.
Right. So to be clear, this Austin-a-thon, we're doing adaptations of the Jane Austen books chronologically from when the books were released. So we did Sense and Sensibility, if you've missed that. Go back and review. And we're doing Pride and Prejudice now. We are doing the adaptations, the film and or miniseries adaptations that we reviewed also in chronological order. In this case, we reviewed the 1940 Laurence Olivier film, Yes, There Is One, Oh My God.
We watched the first 30 minutes of the 1980 miniseries.
From PBS. Oh my God.
We rewatched, of course, the 1995 miniseries with Colin Firth and, of course, the 2005 movie with Keira Knightley and Matthew McFadden. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name because I've heard it now differently.
Oh, have you?
Matthew McFadden or Fadian or something. I feel
that
bad.
That sounds wrong.
I'm sorry. We'll call you Matthew.
Yeah. Not to be confused with Matthew from Downton Abbey. Sorry.
Different person.
Different person.
It's also real. Anyway, so let's get started with Pride and Prejudice 1940. For these, we do a pro-con list. Yes. Some will be longer than others, but that's mostly because some of them are series.
Right.
Or we just have a lot to say.
Right.
So.
I mean, the pro-con lists, and just to be clear, so we start with, I didn't do a pro-con list for this. Oh, I'm going to add one extra factor that we included in our review of Pride and Prejudice, Charles Bingley, who is the initial guy.
Who
falls in love with Jane.
The elder sister.
Should have, what was the energy, Natalie?
Dog energy. But
no, well, and himbo. You said himbo.
Oh, himbo and dog energy. Yes. Puppy energy.
Puppy energy, for sure.
He's an adorable himbo who is whipped that entire time, and I love him for it. I truly do. The reason he's a himbo is because he has to be manipulated into, like, leaving Jane behind, but also enough of a puppy to return back and be like, but wait, but I was a himbo. It's very, very sweet. I love Charles Bingley. He is probably, and again, I know we're supposed to love Mr. Darcy, all that stuff. I've always been a Charles Bingley fan.
I'm a Darcy guy, but still.
I love Darcy. I love Darcy particularly in, I'm not going to tell you. You already know, but. I like a very specific version of Mr. Darcy that really works and makes me like both him and Bingley basically equally. Mm-hmm. But overall, just across the board, I love Mr. Bingley. Right. I really do.
Yeah, Natalie is all about the sweet guy, in case, you know, like anyone's out there. You will remember Colin Bridgerton, you know, all of that. The sweet boy thing is very much a Natalie thing. And so Charles Bingley is
but
that
let's be
guy.
Clear, Anthony Bridgerton also has a himbo energy too.
It's a different kind of himbo.
No, he still has a himbo energy.
He's more...
Now he follows Kate around like a puppy, so...
He's more assertive, though.
There you go. He is more assertive. Now he's a puppy.
Yeah.
Either way.
Anyway, so Charles Bingley, in this... So we're going to start with Pride and Prejudice, Laurence
from
Olivier. 1940. So...
It's black and white.
It's black and white. Laurence Olivier plays Mr. Darcy. Greer Garson plays Elizabeth Bennet, which is interesting. There were a couple of vibes like right off the bat, and I don't know if we want to go through every pro con, whatever.
That's what we did for the last one. I went through my pros, you went through your pros. Okay. That's why I said,
all right,
you went through your notes.
Just do it.
Okay. Pros. There were some funny moments in this. I write down a few for each of them. I try to write down some funny moments, like some quotes or something. Some funny moments from this one. Perhaps we should have drowned some of them at birth. That was Mr. Bennet talking about his children. This is not a very great light of having him there. That violin player at the town ball that is clearly not playing. I got a kick out of that.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of fake musical stuff going on.
Well, here is the oyster, madam. That was a Charles Bingley line of Mrs. Bennet being like, well, there's an oyster waiting to be shucked or something. And he's like, well, here's your oyster now.
Oh, no, he's talking about Jane. So,
no, he says pearl after that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's about Jane. Okay. He's the oyster.
Oh, here's your oyster. Okay.
Elizabeth's going, without any more details, I am on your side.
Yeah, she's talking to Mr. Wickham. So we in the synopsis, Mr. Wickham is a giant character. He is.
I did neglect Wickham.
Right. He makes the, there's going to be a love triangle. The love triangle is Darcy, Wickham, Elizabeth. And what happens is because Darcy slights Elizabeth, she's predisposed to like anybody else.
Who doesn't like him?
And Wickham is like supposed to be kind of like a himbo, but like dastardly. So he is a bad guy who is pretty and says the right thing most of the time. And he claims to have this backstory that makes him sympathetic. Like, oh, Darcy did me wrong.
And she believes it without any more details. I'm on your side.
She says that out loud. Okay, like, and this whole thing is so rushed. Like the beginning, like Mr. Wickham's at the ball. The beginning. I mean, there's like all of this stuff like right off the bat with this movie, which is bizarre. Laurence Olivier is probably the youngest guy there, which is
That's
weird.
Bizarre.
He definitely is like all the hormone though for the
to that. And another funny part was when Jane gets sick, she's forced to ride horseback, or in this version she's not, but she rides horseback in the rain to go visit Bingley's house to visit his sister, who's invited her, and she gets a cold and she has to stay for a week. And in this version, there's a doctor coming in and being like, yeah, she's gonna have to stay for a week. And then behind one of those like Chinese screens or whatever that you have in your bedroom in that time.
A dressing screen.
I don't know why I call it Chinese. I'm sorry. Usually they have like a cool pattern on it. Maybe that's why. But Bingley apparently was behind the dressing screen and pops up and says, a week. I love that so much. It is so funny.
Yeah. Wait, now that is like his only really funny himbo-y type line, which is, you know, a negative, but whatever.
Yeah. So Bingley, my next pro is Bingley is cute. He is a foxhound.
Yes. Yeah, so we decided that this
we assigned dogs.
Right. Is a foxhound because he's a little more intentional, a little more direct. And in fact, in this is supposed to be semi-smart, like book read and knowledgeable.
Yeah,
he
actually knows
shit. Like, really?
He knows medical terms. Like, what?
No.
Laurence Olivier is handsome. I mean, we already knew that. Yeah. Kept the accomplished woman conversation because I didn't know what they were going to keep or not.
There's a lot of weird shit in this. Like, you know, they have a whole archery scene.
Yeah, speaking of the next one, Elizabeth whooping Darcy's ass at archery and him choosing to be less patronizing.
Yeah, and he actually says that.
He actually says it out loud. Mr. Collins is very funny and very gay. I love him so much.
He's
just dancing around the place. I love him so much.
He chases chickens at one point. It's super fun.
It's great. And Wickham and Lydia showing off the wealth from Darcy. After they've been paid off, they show it off with a fucking French horn announcing their return home.
Yeah,
it's
Lydia's
so
just
extra. I hate it.
Well, Lydia's always dreadful. But So part of this, and we keep referring to Collins. So Mr. Collins is their cousin. He is supposed to inherit the home in which they live when their dad dies. He's to inherit Longbourn. He is in this version a librarian. In every other version, and in the book, he is a preacher who has a living at a place called Rosings Park for this Lady Catherine de Bourgh, who turns out to be Mr. Darcy's aunt. Mr. Collins is meant to be the comic relief and or like the creepy like love interest, the person who is after people. He ends up being after Elizabeth in a very what should be comical way, and he is comical in this for sure. I'm sorry, you were saying
those are my only pros.
All right, so yeah, I didn't start making a pro con list until later, but in very early on, Bingley is dancing with Jane and he gives her the most backhanded compliment of like, hey, you're not a bitch.
I rephrased it for you. So basically what he says is, you're very kind to other people. And she's just like, well, yeah, I mean, they're my neighbors. They're kind people. And he's like, yeah, but without any expectations for you to be nice, you're a nice person. And I'm just like, oh my God, you're not a bitch.
Well, wait, so what he says is like, you know, I haven't heard you disparage anybody else in the room, more or less.
Yes.
And she's like, why should I? They're my neighbors, they're good people. And he's like, that's never stopped anyone from disparaging their neighbors before. And of course, this makes sense when you realize that his sister is the world's biggest bitch. Caroline Bingley is like fucking terrible. He has two sisters, they're both terrible. They don't always appear in every version.
Well, one of them always appears, which is Caroline, because she's important. Right. The other one, don't care.
Yeah, Mrs. Amelia Hurst. Hurst. I don't remember her first name. Mrs. Hurst and her husband appear in several of these other versions. And they're present.
They're not necessary. There's a reason why they're usually cut out.
Yeah, but Caroline is necessary because she's a bitch. And she's super interested in Mr. Darcy and failing. comically failing. Although she is very beautiful, pretty much in all of these.
Basically,
yeah, it's pretty impressive. Caroline is super bitchy in this one.
It made it entertaining.
It did make it entertaining. She's super bitchy. Mr. Collins is very much the gay cousin. Elizabeth is a good archer, and Darcy admits he's been patronizing. And Mr. Collins watching him chase chickens is super, super funny because he's just not, he's supposed to be super pro and proper, and he just, it's funny. What cons do you have? I've got a full page.
I have so many. Ready. Okay. Ham-handed exposition. There's a lot of explaining to do. And some versions do this, handle this issue well. Point to the 2005 version where they don't usually spell everything out for you and you kind of just figure it out via, you just watch it, or you just kind of pick it up along the way. But this version doesn't care about that. They will explain everything to you in the most obvious manner. Out of date / out of class costumes and sets. The way this looked, and they've changed, we looked at a Wikipedia article which confirmed they changed the setting time from Regency era England, so like 18 teens to 1820s or whatever, to 1830s and beyond. So it was more upper class Victorian or Civil War South and not middle class Regency.
Yeah, this read very Gone with the Wind. The music, the costumes, everything was very antebellum
South.
Yeah.
Charlotte is too beautiful. So here's the thing about Charlotte Lucas. She is a faithful friend to Elizabeth Bennet, but she is not as beautiful as Elizabeth, and that's part of her character. Not to say any of these actresses are not beautiful in any way. She's supposed to pale in comparison.
Right. She's also supposed to be an old maid.
Yes. And she's going to be a spinster forever. This person was way too beautiful for that to happen. So, I don't know. We meet Wickham way too soon. Like, he is introduced, like, within the first 10 minutes, which is not how that's supposed to go.
No.
There's no distinction among the sisters except Mary's glasses. Like, I couldn't tell you which one was Kitty or Mary, except for the glasses.
Even Jane. They all
even
Jane. The
same.
And Jane
is supposed to be the most beautiful of them all, but it just...
Jane is, like, super conniving in this, which I really didn't like. Go ahead.
But not handsome enough to tempt me. The famous line that Darcy says that slights Elizabeth at the first ball when they meet, which is said to Mr. Bingley with an earshot of Elizabeth, is gone. And he's not mean enough. And he asks her to dance and is not socially awkward. Yes. Like, what I want out of a Mr. Darcy, and this will become clear once as we go on, I want him to be socially awkward. I don't want him just to be a dick. And to be fair, this guy isn't as much of a dick, but... It doesn't go to a far enough extreme either way, which
You don't have any reason why Elizabeth should hate him. She has no good reason to.
They haven't talked to each other.
Yeah, and I mean, there is no reason for her to dislike him, and it really she is very unlikable for that reason.
Yes.
Like she even says she's super precious. Just like, okay,
I'm prejudiced, and you're
saying those words. Like 100 times in this movie. It's ridiculous.
Wickham gives the exposition really early. Like in the first ball sequence, he gives away some of the exposition about his backstory with Darcy. And it's like, wow, okay. In a public setting too. Without any more explanation, I believe you. Jane is in on the getting sick plot and staying over. Usually what happens is that she's given no choice but to go on horseback by her mother.
Who is evil and bad. She's just conniving.
Yeah.
But awful.
Manipulative. And she gets sick, and that's just a byproduct. Like, her plan basically is just to go over to see Caroline Bingley because she's invited her over for dinner. And so there you go. But then she ends up sick, and it's just a happy coincidence for her to be there. But her being in on it makes me like, oh, you're really trying to manipulate Bingley into liking you. Like, I don't like that. I want their love to be pure.
Yes, and it should be.
It should be.
Of course, you know, puppy dogs should be treated like and they shouldn't.
He's such a good boy.
Sweet, yeah.
A week? Mr. Collins is a librarian and looks like he's going to break into song at any moment. I'm sorry I added that last part. Yeah, he just skips around the place and I love him for it.
Very funny.
I thought for a second when he came down the stairs for the first time, I thought he was going to break into song.
he was practicing his speeches for the
Oh,
dinner,
I love him so much.
Cute. It was very funny.
There's some weird blocking in this.
There's very weird blocking in this. And just kind of like, why are these people standing this way? Why are they? They walk
it's like
up
a sitcom
they,
blocking.
Yeah, they walk up and down in front of the fire.
That's
Caroline
what I was
Elizabeth,
thinking.
And it's like
the
that.
Turn about the room is just a turn back and forth.
Yeah, it's like maybe 2 feet. It's
yeah.
Just dumb.
Darcy helps Elizabeth escape Collins and have an archery scene, and he is way too openly eager.
Well, but, and yes, he clearly has attraction for her very early on.
It's supposed
He's
to
being
be a
dissed by her, and it's supposed to be the other way around. She's supposed to be dissed by him. And so, like, it really makes her incredibly unlikable.
Mm-hmm. And it's his first, there are two proposals. Well, three technically, because Collins does one, but
two
for Darcy, there are two for Darcy. The mm-hmm. first one is supposed to come as a complete surprise. Like, she was not expecting it. She had just heard some really bad news about something Darcy did, and he proposes to her, and she freaks out about it. But, he's not supposed to be giving away that he likes her this much. And
yeah.
It's very clear he does.
And when he proposes to her the first time, he's, like, kissing on her and stuff. It's like,
well, he's about to.
He kisses her hand.
Oh, he
like
kisses
that.
Her hand.
Yeah. There's a lot of physical affection that we've been taught to believe by Bridgerton and everywhere else. You can't be doing that shit.
You can't be doing that.
Apparently, you can't.
I wrote down just quote, you're so proud. You're so prejudiced. Essentially, that's what they say sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
The mother is horrible, opening letters, spouting inconvenient exposition for all to hear. It's very unfortunate.
Yes.
Elizabeth is too good at piano. Here's
yeah.
the thing. Elizabeth is not supposed to be good at piano. That's
She's
the whole
supposed to be
point.
Okay.
She's supposed to be okay. Like, she makes some mistakes. She's not supposed to be like Georgiana level of good.
No.
But she
Georgiana
is
Mr. Darcy's sister, who is supposed to be really good.
This proficient. And she...
Which oddly does not happen in one of these episodes.
I know. And then that's whatever. Darcy is super forward during his initial proposal, which I guess has to do with like the kissing and stuff. Elizabeth is too much of a crier and such a bitch at the first proposal.
Jane does a full-on Marianne boohoo.
She does. I think I mentioned that later or something.
It's like, what the hell?
But she's such a crier during the first proposal. Like, Elizabeth is one of those people who doesn't cry in front of somebody. She cries when someone leaves.
Yes.
And she's able to keep her composure enough, but you see it behind her eyes. And she says, honesty is an overrated virtue. She was like, please, you shouldn't have told me that you wanted to be with me because...
No, you shouldn't have told me that your family and connections and everything else would be against this. You shouldn't have... You know, the things that he is honest about in this first proposal are kind of offensive. Like, you know,
oh,
your
absolutely.
Connection's stuck, your family's terrible.
But honesty is not an overrated virtue.
It's not.
It's quite underrated, actually. Where is Pemberley? They don't visit Pemberley.
Yeah, what the fuck, man?
Not once. Darcy showing up and telling Elizabeth about Wickham and not via letter. It makes it very awkward, if I'm being honest. Because you have that thing with Colonel Brandon in Sense and Sensibility, which is supposed to be a monologue. And it is a monologue in all cases. It's always a monologue. In this case, it's usually a letter, and it makes more sense as a letter because he can't just, like... The way this is planned out as far as timeline is concerned, she just rejected his proposal at Kent in at Rosings Parks, the Collinses. And she returns home and Darcy's just there. And she's like,
in this version,
not usually, but in this version, he's just there. And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to repeat any of the stuff that was so vile to you. Here's a lot of exposition in person. I'm like,
right,
okay.
I heard about Lydia. I'm going to help her out. Basically, it's like
yeah.
He tells her up front. Like, there's so much upfront stuff rather than... So part of what is great about the... And I know we're spending a lot of time on the story, but you know, we won't
but,
have to.
But, well, yeah, exactly.
But these are major points in this story, one of which is that Darcy... The sister Lydia,
the youngest sister,
runs off with Mr. Wickham. We find out from Darcy that Mr. Wickham had tried to basically rape his sister, not really, but get her to run away with him just for her money. And that's why they actually had the falling out that they did. And so Elizabeth knows that. And I think in the book, both she and Jane know that before Lydia runs off, but they hadn't basically exposed Wickham as being the bad dude that they know he is. And what ends up happening is Lydia is forced, they find Lydia and Wickham, they're forced to marry, and Elizabeth finds out later that how they forced Wickham to marry Lydia is he was paid off by Darcy, because Mr. Darcy loves her so much, he is willing to pay off this horrible guy that he hates more than life itself.
Let him get away with something he shouldn't.
He shouldn't, and pay for it. That, you know, really, he could have stayed out of it altogether. This isn't his sister, it isn't his family. He just, you know, let them, you know, wallow in whatever awfulness is going to be the outcome of this. But one of the great things that he does, and it really wins Elizabeth over, is that he pays Wickham off and gets them married and gets them settled. And it saves the reputations of the whole Bennet family, basically. And so, but then the way it happens in this, he shows up and tells her he's doing all this stuff. It's like, where's the surprise? Where's the, oh my God, you're so great? Where's all that stuff? We don't get any of that.
Next, no sibling dynamics. I didn't
Yeah,
see
none,
any.
zero.
Elizabeth says that she loves him after the explanation and says it out loud to Jane. She's like, I love him. I'm like, you're not supposed to know that yet. Or maybe you should know it at this point, but you don't vocalize it.
You're not telling anybody.
Darcy waits until the family gives up on the search for Lydia and hears about the scandal it will bring to start his search for Wickham and Lydia. Like, he's hanging out in town with Bingley and Caroline Bingley,
Playing bowl pool.
playing billiards, and he hears, oh, well, they seem to have given up the search for Lydia and Wickham, and he's like, well, I guess I should give it a shot. The family's moving because of the scandal. That's never part of the
Inherited land.
Yeah, like, why are you giving this up?
Yeah, well, you're gonna what, give it to Mr. Collins? What the
Why?
fuck
That
is going on here? That's ridiculous.
guy,
What?
why?
And most
It
of their income is from the farming of the land. I mean, it's just all
makes
dumb.
no
It is
sense.
idiotic.
Random French horns to announce Lydia's return home
That
with
is so funny.
Wickham.
And I'm sorry, who plays the French horn on horseback? I'd love to, you know, like, understand where that logic came
I'm sure
from.
there are plenty of people. Lady Catherine de Bourgh's visit is actually a test and not a threat.
So Lady Catherine de Bourgh, this is another one of these big events. Lady Catherine, being Mr. Darcy's aunt, has had him betrothed to her daughter for a very
Like
long time, which,
outwardly, but not like officially.
right, because
No documentation.
her daughter is super sickly, and like, it's not even realistic that she would ever marry anybody. But Lady Catherine finds out that there is a rumor that Darcy proposed to Elizabeth and that they're going to get married, and so she shows up at Longbourn at the Bennet's house to berate Elizabeth and make sure that she promises never to get engaged to Mr. Darcy. And I'm sorry, you were talking about, like, when she shows up in this movie, rather than what it normally is, which is she shows up, she tries to get Elizabeth to agree, and Elizabeth's like, fuck no. I mean, and she doesn't say it, but
To
she is
agree not to get
not to get engaged.
engaged
And
to
she's like,
Darcy.
no, I mean, I'm not going to agree to any of that shit. I'm really hoping he'll propose to me. But even if he doesn't, and at that point, she really doesn't even have that hope anymore that he's
She's
going to do that.
also really outward about the fact I hope he's gonna propose.
Yeah,
Not
which.
just like I'm not going to tell you I'm going to not allow another proposal. Like it was a worrying thing.
Right. But Elizabeth, at this point in the normal course of things and in the book, is not believing that Darcy's ever going to propose to her again. She just doesn't want to be forced into a corner by this old bat who has nothing to do with her. And so she's like, no, I'm not agreeing to that. And it's also partly because she loves him. And so we find out in this version that Darcy sent his aunt in there to test her. That's horseshit, asshole.
Makes no sense.
None.
Also, I put, why is Darcy acting like this? I think he's just, again, very outwardly emotional.
Yeah, which is
Like, not,
unusual.
which is unusual for a portrayal. I didn't mind it exactly. It just was off-putting.
He should be more socially awkward and less emotional. He's
More
supposed to
guarded.
be, yeah, much more guarded.
Bingley and Jane get a silent offhand proposal in the garden.
Ugh.
Mary has a suitor at the end, Mr. Denny. Like, and Mr. Denny changes in every single version of this.
Yeah,
Denny is usually an officer in like the regiment.
There's a regiment that's stationed in Meryton, which
that
is
Mr.
where
Wickham
Longbourn
is,
and Mr. Wickham is part of that regiment.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mr. Denny or Captain Denny or whatever the fuck
proposes to Mary.
He does not propose.
He doesn't
to
propose.
Anybody. And he just is one of these side characters at these balls. Is
no, I'm talking about in this version. He
right. No, I know in this version.
He stands by her piano and
is
while she's
playing the flute or something.
Yeah playing the flute and they. This is how the movie ends. At like, well, maybe Barry's gonna have love, and I'm like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything?
I don't know.
We should be ending on the couples that we care about. Who the fuck is this,
and
why
do
we
care?
Care?
Exactly. All right. So now, we're not going to rate these until the end, but that was just a weird aside.
Do you have any more that you'd like to add?
I do love the fact that I had you actually write some of my cons.
Because yeah. your nail polish
my
was
nail polish
drying.
Was drying. But yeah, I think they cover all the same thing. Yeah, Jane's the one that tells Elizabeth about Lydia running away, which again, it's true. She does that again. It's via letter.
While she's still at, it's while she's on the countryside and
near Pemberley.
Near Pemberley,
because we should see fucking Pemberley in this, but that did not happen in this movie, which is disappointing. But yeah, I don't think there was anything other than the stuff we've already noted. I would say that there were some very big cons to me. Those, of course, being the music, the clothing, the Gone with the Wind shit, and Darcy being not socially awkward. You know, the Bingley not being a moron is a little annoying, but it's not. He's such a side character in this
version. In this
version,
yeah.
Yeah, and of course that makes it worse for you.
Yes. So now we're going to briefly talk about Pride and Prejudice 1980. We watched the first 30 minutes. We could not watch it anymore.
No, if this says anything, in the first 30 minutes of the first episode of the 1980 actual miniseries, I have half a page of cons and no pros.
I have two pros, and they're
good for you.
No, two pros, and they are Bingley is kind of cute. English Mastiff.
That's what we've decided. He's an English Mastiff, which means
the most boring of dogs.
Yeah, he's kind of like solid.
No offense if you have an English Mastiff.
A dog that'll sleep by the fire. Not gonna come bounding to you like, hi, I love
he's
you.
Not, Darcy is handsome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cons. Too long. It is a 5-episode
oh,
miniseries.
You have skipped the number one kind. I get to do some stuff first at some point. But
I just would like to say too long.
Go ahead. Okay.
And also, oh, yeah, too long.
Yeah. So weird cartoon intro. Like, it has
I also
weird
was
going to
say
titles.
Weird intro.
Yeah, weird cartoon intro. There is an accidental chain link fence in the background. Super fucking funny to me. Charlotte in this is like very old. I mean, she's not like, she's just so significantly older than the other people involved. The production value of this is just terrible.
Horrendous.
My husband equated it to, and he is correct, 1970s Doctor Who, where like everything is like lit with incandescent lamps in an indoor space. It's really terrible. The dad, Mr. Bennett, he is a real dickhead. He treats his wife and his daughters with such disdain. He's such a dick to everybody.
He's yelling at everyone all the time.
He is. It's awful.
Also, too much exposition dumping.
Well, there's exposition dumping, and then there's like weird, crazy shit. Like everybody's prejudiced. So Bingley,
and you're too prideful.
Sorry. So Bingley. The whole thing at the beginning, like Mr. Bennett's supposed to call on Mr. Bingley, which he does, and we don't get to see Bingley again until there is a dance at a public space. In this, Bingley comes by the house, and when he comes by the house, Jane is looking
him.
Out the window, and she talks about how I like him. there's this about his intelligence and this and this his demeanor and blah blah blah. It's like, you haven't met him. What do you know about his intelligence? What do you know about any of it? What do you mean you like him? What, you can say you like the way he looks. What the fuck is this shit? And you talk, there's just like so much prejudice in this.
I also wrote down in all caps, low energy.
Yeah, there's poor delivery of
There's no
every line.
urgency.
There's every line. So in pretty much every version, you have a pretty
And
dreadful.
awkward blocking.
Yeah, you have a pretty dreadful and annoying Mrs. Bennet, right? Even Mrs. Bennet in this was so flat. It's like, ugh.
Extremely.
Yeah, it's just, I got no sense of anybody liking anybody else. Everybody kind of hated everybody and was disgusted by themselves for being in this production. I have to agree. And so we didn't watch the rest of it.
Yeah, I also said, why aren't Bingley and Darcy talking to anyone? There is just a lot of miming, mouthing kind of things
Yeah,
that's just
no
like no
conversations.
conversation.
Clearly, the writers couldn't think of anything. And here's the thing: the source material with Jane Austen, particularly with Pride and Prejudice, there is some great banter. There is great dialogue. There is a lot you can do with this,
And
and you
Rhonda had
see
more.
that in other versions. It, hell, even the 1940 version had better shit than this. This is not great.
I agree with you completely. I without any more context, I agree with you completely.
I'll
Anyway,
back you completely.
I'm on your side entirely. Sorry. So move on from that bullshit. I'm sorry if you're involved in the production of that, but you already know.
Yeah, you know, you're just happy to be out of it.
And if
So,
you really like it, good for you. I'm glad you like it.
okay, so
Pride
we're
and
gonna.
Prejudice 1995
All right,
with Colin Firth.
can I do some stuff first? Because,
You do your prose
yeah,
first.
because I know you want to do all the prose and stuff for the 2005 and.
I do, so go.
I have pages of pros and some cons for both. So my pros for the 1995, in this one, for those who are keeping track, Mr. Bingley, we decided is a golden doodle. That was
He
your
is
thing.
a
And
labradoodle.
he is a golden labradoodle. He is adorable. He's very fluffy.
He is
He's played by Crispin
adorable. Bonham Carter.
Bonham. Yeah. And he is
The
a
cousin of
cousin.
Helena Bonham Carter.
Thank you. I was getting those words out as you were speaking.
You were
Thank you.
trying.
This has some it has some good cast. Colin Firth is this is an iconic role for him as Mr. Darcy, mostly because he's in a wet shirt later on. And it's Colin Firth. He's fucking fabulous, let's face it. But at the same time, there are limitations on that. Colin Firth really is great, and he definitely looks the part. Obnoxious Lydia. Lydia in this production has one of the most obnoxious voices ever, and this Mrs. Bennet has the most obnoxious voice of all the
This is a
Mrs.
pro.
Bennets. They should be obnoxious. They should be people you
This should be,
despise.
but I also want to be able that my problem with that is I want to be able to understand why Elizabeth still loves her family. Because if they are so unmentionably, uncontrollably awful, I don't understand why she loves her family enough to defend
Well,
it.
it's not so much defending as her family. Like, where else is she gonna go? What anyway? But
To
yeah.
Pemberley.
So, and again, some of my notes are in comparison to we had just watched the 1940 version. So it's like whatever. The music is obviously is much better. This is more, piano music that is consistent with being classical, whatever. Mrs. Bennet is more conniving. She seems a little smarter in this than in the other versions we've seen. There is a decent Elizabeth and Jane relationship. In fact, Jane is a really solid sister. She treats Elizabeth pretty well. Like she, yeah. There's a point at which she gets Mr. Collins away from Elizabeth so she can spend time with Wickham. Things like that. She is. There are good some good sibling relationships. Both of the Bingley sisters are there, and the Lord of the Vale is in this, which, I always love it when that actor appears because he seems to be much like Harriet, what's her name, in everything. So he's in this. There's a plausible Charlotte in this. She's very pretty, but she's prettier than most Charlottes, but she is plausible as a Charlotte. Bingley, I think, is solid. Mr. Darcy is super haughty, and again, early on, you want him to be. There is an interesting Bingley and Darcy juxtaposition that you get to see both in the demeanor, the acting, the blocking, all of it. The Lizzie performance, this is Jennifer Ail or Ailey, I don't know how to pronounce her name. The actress at the time during the filming of this apparently hooked up with Colin Firth, so you get, start to see some of the chemistry there, and that's actually kind of cool. There's some good performances with this, and I'm taking it in context of the direction. So the direction is a little restrained, and I think that that is one of the criticisms of this versus other versions. But Darcy comes around, but not too early, which is good. Comes around to like being like, hey, this is pretty.
It was a little
Yeah, but and a lot of the ickier lines that he has actually did come from the book, so whatever. The Bingley sisters are obnoxious, and Caroline is super bitchy. The actress, and I found this out, the actress who plays Caroline Bingley in this 1995 version is related to Jane Austen. So she is descended from Jane Austen's older brother. So that's kind of cool, but she is super bitchy in this.
Mm.
Mr. Collins in this is takes himself far too seriously. And it's funny, but it's Mary is awful and she's kind of preacher-y, which is not great. There's a point at which, and this is a big thing at the Netherfield Ball. So Mr. Bingley has a ball where he has everybody there. And Mary, this is a big thing. She plays the piano and sings when nobody really wants her to. And in this version, the dogs outside start howling, which is funny. Colonel Fitzwilliam in this, I think, is the best Colonel Fitzwilliam. So while they are, Elizabeth goes to visit her friend Charlotte, who's then married to Mr. Collins, who's obviously at Rosings. She goes to Lady Catherine's, and it turns out that Mr. Darcy and his cousin, Colonel Fitzwilliam, are there. Colonel Fitzwilliam is a catalyst for a bunch of things in most versions of Pride and Prejudice and in the book. He tells Elizabeth about the fact that Darcy kind of broke up Bingley and Jane. And that is kind of important. He's also somebody that people start making rumors that, like, Jane, not Jane, that Elizabeth and Colonel Fitzwilliam might hook up. So he needs to be a plausible suitor kind of guy. He needs to be kind of good looking, whatever. This is clearly the best Colonel Fitzwilliam in any of the groups that I've seen. There is the first proposal from Mr. Darcy is a little too officious to me. Like, it's almost, it's not quite, but it's almost as bad as Mr. Collins. It's very stiff. But I do really like Elizabeth's reactions, and actually Colin Firth, the performance, his reactions to being rejected by Elizabeth, because she rejects him. She re rejects him pretty hard. I felt like Elizabeth was a little too bitchy in this rejection. She was a little too strong. He sends her the letter that we talked about, defending himself, and talking about Wickham and whatever. The letter, the tone, when you hear it in his voice, usually, the tone in the letter, I think, is really pretty good. And then we have some random fencing and swimming, which is lovely because Colin Firth does that very well. And then, of course, the swimming is the famous thing where you see him dive into a lake because he's trying to get Elizabeth out of his mind and he gets damp, wet things. Elizabeth, they do go to Pemberley. Her reaction to Pemberley is pretty good. I really like that Mr. Darcy, when he sees her at Pemberley, finally has the thing that we've been looking for, which is, and by that I mean you and I, in Darcy, there should be some social awkwardness. So he stutters a little bit. He's kind of excited. It's almost like he's showing Elizabeth his prized toy. Like, this is my amazing place that I
This
live,
is
that I
my
love.
fort.
Yeah, this is my fort and I
Isn't
really love it. Do you like it? Do you like it? And he even
it
asks her. He even asks her, so what do you think? Is it nice? Do you like it? Do you like it?
pretty? Do you
And
like
it's,
it? Do you think you would live here
yeah, isn't
someday?
it great? And I really love Darcy's and Elizabeth's chemistry at that point. I think it's really, really great. I at this point in the show, Elizabeth finds out about Lydia and tells Darcy, and he just takes off, which she doesn't know how to read that, and none of us do, other than in retrospect. And she's like, she's appropriately sad, like, I'm never gonna see this guy again. And she finally realizes that she wants his good opinion. I like that they kind of make a big deal about Mr. Bingley going back to Netherfield. Darcy admits that he was wrong about separating Bingley and Jane, which I think is important. And after the proposal, they're very sweet together. Lady Catherine is very, very, very bitchy to her. And I love Elizabeth's response to it. And it shows Lego's real growth in character. She's not going to get pushed around. She's not just this immature, excitable girl. She's clearly come a long way. And the language in the proposal conversation was good. I really don't like how the proposal was done in this version, but whatever. So what were your pros? I know it seemed like a lot.
It was a lot. Colin Firth, Jennifer Eel, L.
What happened? How is it? Yeah.
More stuff from the book, quotes, Bingley's other sister, that kind of stuff, even though Bingley's sister is not necessary. It's Victoria Hamilton in this, which, I mean, she's everywhere, so whatever. Sibling dynamics, I agree. Funny stuff. Quotes. Nothing you say will ever vex me again. I'm sad to hear it. I'm not engaged, sir. Good. She's an angel. She smiles too much. Yeah, the dog's howling at Mary's music. Knocks on the door. Are we to be murdered in our beds? Yeah, they would knock beforehand. You're not to stir out of doors until you've taken 10 minutes out of every day to act rationally. Yeah, Bingley is cute and kind. He's a labradoodle. Some of Colin Firth's facial expressions really crack me up. There are moments early on where you see that Darcy likes Elizabeth. Mary clearly likes Mr. Collins, which is an element I kind of like, because it gives Mary something to do. There's some fun background moments, like Jane and Bingley talking or dancing, Darcy watching Elizabeth, the family, that kind of stuff. Mr. Bennet is good. Colonel Fitzwilliam is good. Great acting in the first proposal. Random fencing and swimming. Elizabeth helping Georgiana. There's a moment when she's visiting Pemberley and Caroline Bingley starts talking about Mr. Wickham in front of Georgiana, who obviously has a history with him, a very recent history, actually. And she stops playing the piano for a second. And Elizabeth, without, like, because she was asking, Caroline Bingley was asking Elizabeth about him and how she, like, doted on him or whatever, and what's going to
She's
happen
basically
now.
digging Elizabeth, like, oh, you really are gonna miss him, aren't you? Because he's not there anymore.
And Georgiana stops playing, and Elizabeth immediately, and like Darcy's about to get up and like comfort his sister, but Elizabeth goes over and she's like, oh, I neglected to turn your page for you. Let
How
me
can you
help you with
possibly
that.
play without that? I'm so
And so she
sorry.
like comforts her and makes her feel
Georgiana
better.
is not a great piano player on this, which I find a little disappointing,
But
but
yeah.
it's fine.
Darcy taking fault for not warning the family about Wickham. And we see Bingley comfort Darcy, or sorry, confront Darcy about not telling him that Jane was in London, and Darcy apologizing.
Yeah, that's good, I
Yep.
think.
Do you want me to take the lead on the cons?
Sure, go ahead.
Too long. Six episodes is not necessary, in my opinion. That was 6 hours of our lives.
It was.
Because.
There was some good stuff in there.
I'm
And
not saying
there
there
were
isn't.
parts
I'm
of
just
the
saying
story that
6 hours is a lot.
you didn't.
Mrs. Bennet, I hate her voice. And I know she's supposed to be. And the actress did a great job. I just don't want to hear her voice ever again. Jane has very little personality, and I believe that Bingley could be convinced she isn't interested.
Yeah.
Like
Well, I mean,
that's
that's
the
part of the
person.
plot,
It's
though.
part of the plot that I really buy in this one, whereas in the other one, it's like, oh no, she is interested. But she's a bit modest. It's not that she seems disinterested. It's just that that's her personality. But I can really believe that Bingley could be convinced. Which is sad to me. Lydia is so obnoxious. I hate her so much. Things are really drawn out. Like there are a lot of like travel sequences and just long shots of things that don't need to be there. A lot of just, it's just drawn out. Because you have to fill an hour for whatever reason. 6 hours to be precise. Darcy is extremely rude on the first meeting. I'm just like, okay, bro. You have to be a little bit, you
Yeah,
have to be a
he
little bit
disses her
better.
almost to her face. It's really kind of bad.
Like Bingley literally points out, oh, she's nearby. And he's like,
Here,
she's
ask
just
for
as
some
handsome
hints.
enough to tempt me. And it's like, oh my God, you know she must have heard that. Awkward scene endings. There's some scenes that just
Yeah.
end. It's very interesting. Capital, Sir William. I don't want to hear the word capital from you ever again. Stop saying pride in all caps. I find Elizabeth's willingness to believe Wickham's story so easily and steadfastly super annoying, especially with the conversations with Jane. I know that's a part of her character. I know that's part of the problem. I don't like how much they harp on it in this
Yeah,
version.
no, she starts
It
spreading
is
really anti-Darcy.
constant.
Well, in the book it's somewhat constant
I'm
too.
not saying it isn't. I'm just saying it's constant in this version and I don't like it. They could have edited it slightly, to make her at least a little bit likable. Colin Firth doesn't seem insecure, mostly just disdainful and a bit creepy.
Creepy.
A bit creepy. He is constantly watching her.
I'm sorry, people do that when they're
I'm
interested.
not saying that. I'm just saying it can be a bit creepy. With like the distance from what she's watching is funny to me. Like
Okay.
she can just be talking to somebody and then he's just in the center of the frame just watching her. It's very funny to me.
They just want to show that he's
Fine, he's
interested.
not creepy. He's just being weird. Elizabeth acts like a bitch most of the time, which really pisses me off. Because I want to like Elizabeth. She's our protagonist. And you can have a flawed protagonist, that's totally fine, but you have to acknowledge that it's a flaw and not that she's. And they don't reward her, I suppose, because, I mean, her sister gets stupidly a part of the mess, but, I mean. Whatever. Caroline Bingley is such a bitch talking about Wickham to Georgiana. That's so low.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible.
Obviously, maybe she doesn't know, but regardless, just stop. So much secondhand embarrassment with the family. Like, if that was our family, I think I would die of embarrassment, especially if Lydia was a part of our family. I would be so embarrassed.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck the flashbacks. Ghost Colin Firth in the carriage window and the mirror, unnecessary.
There are a lot of flashbacks in this, and
Like,
it's
of stuff that
like,
happened, like,
hey,
if you're
I like
watching
Lydia.
consistently, it happened just a minute ago. Like, you don't need to tell me that again. I already know.
I mean, and we did have a tiny argument. It's not a real argument about this. I don't like the flashbacks either. They are con for me as well. But my thing is, like, I think what they're trying to do is, like, when something that emotionally striking happens to you, and all you have to do for your time, because you don't have your phone and you don't have all the other shit, the only distraction you have is to sit in the carriage and think about it. Think about that, or like your fucking sister literally fucking somebody that you thought you liked until just like a hot minute ago. There's gonna be a lot of rehashing, and I think that
I'm
that's
not
what they were
saying that.
trying to get across. The problem,
I just don't need to see
yeah.
it.
Well, but they also kind of like, Confer is a hot guy. He's a hot guy. You should be like interested in the hot guy. He's a hot guy.
Anyway, she tells Jane about the proposal, but not about why she refused. She seems to confide a lot in Jane in this version, which I like, except she doesn't share everything. And I'm just
Yeah.
like, okay, well, then what the fuck are you doing? Elizabeth and Jane decide not to tell anybody about Wickham, which is
On
disturbing.
purpose. On purpose.
And I think that's in the book as well,
I
which
think
I
it
don't
is too.
like,
It's
but
disappointing.
I just don't like that.
No.
We see Elizabeth change in opinion after seeing Pemberley. Specifically seeing
Gold
Pemberley,
digger. Gold digger.
not his change in behavior, Pemberley. Oh, it's a pretty house. I want to live in the pretty house near the woods. It's like, okay, Fox girl, I don't know what I was going with
I
that.
don't either, but whatever.
I think I was going with you can live in the woods if you want to, I suppose. There are a lot of sequences of her just walking around screen to screen.
Okay.
Kitty being more involved in the Lydia and Wickham stuff is disturbing. I don't like that. I mean, I guess it gives her something to do, but it makes her so much more unlikable because Kitty at one point is like, I don't see what she
What
how
you
what
did
she did
wrong.
was so wrong. It's like, You don't? That's a problem. Boring proposal while on a walk. Like, what the fuck was that?
When he proposes, they're not even looking at each other
And
when he
they never,
proposes.
it's like one of those awkward walks where, like, it could be like, it would be fine if it was like a confessing feelings walk or like a change in opinion walk or something. Like you're looking at them, but they're not looking at you, and then you turn away and then they start looking at you. That's cute, but not for a fucking proposal.
Right. I mean,
Not
you
like a,
think,
hey, do you
hey,
want to get married now? And then she's like, yeah, my opinion's changed.
well, I mean, you should at least like stop and look at each other and talk. I mean, what the fuck is this shit?
Like, why are you walking?
I don't know.
And Elizabeth never tells her father what Darcy did for Lydia, which I don't like.
No, it's really pretty terrible. That's awful.
Those are my cons.
All
Go
right,
ahead.
so my cons, and many of them are the same, so I'm going to try and not reiterate them. I'm going to say something that you find terrible. Jane is not as pretty as I think she should be, because Jane
I
is
was supposed
supposed
to
to
be,
be.
because she's a pretty person,
She
but
is, but she's supposed to
comparatively.
be the prettiest sister, and clearly Elizabeth's the prettiest sister in this
Yeah.
group. And it's so pronounced that like Mr. Collins is even like, hey. So yeah, I noted and I put it in the comments because I just wanted to put it somewhere. The actress who plays the Queen Mum from The Crown,
Victoria
and
Hamilton.
yeah, she appears in this and it's kind of funny. Wickham it is less attracted to. I mean, he does, isn't as obviously attracted to Jane. He is, but he's not.
Wickham.
It less. I'm sorry, not to Jane. To he's less attractive, I should say. He's less attractive to me as an actor.
I
That's what I
agree.
was thinking. Never mind.
I was about to say Jane.
There are a lot of intense Darcy stares. And but honestly, his performance feels a bit flat. And I think that they did that on purpose. Like you're supposed to be restrained. You're supposed to be, you know.
That the whole thing, that should be, that's the theme of that entire series, restraint.
Well, and that I think. Growing up, that was my understanding of like the British stiff upper lip kind of thing. Like you don't let any of it out ever, which is not my experience with actually meeting British people. And I realize that I'm living in a different time, but there's some of it, but not in quite the same way. And I don't know how to
In like
explain
a
it because I haven't
small
really got
town in the
through.
middle of the country, it shouldn't be like this.
No. Elizabeth is a bitchier person,
She is.
and generally in this whole thing, she's bitchy about Anne de Burgh, who, you know, like, oh yeah, she's so ugly, she'll never get a man kind of
If
thing.
she could be more ugly, it would be a sin. It's
Yeah,
or
so
something like,
she and she's
okay, no, that
yeah,
was not what she said.
she's regular to
That's
Jane.
not what she
She's
said.
regular to Jane to diss Anne de Burgh. It's like,
A less accomplished woman I've never seen.
yes,
It's like, what?
wow,
What
okay.
did Anne de Burgh do to you?
She's a sickly, pathetic girl who lives in a house.
I would hope she lives in a house. I mean, it's not guaranteed, but
I mean, I've written several times more fucking flashbacks. That's annoying. But yeah, the discussion's coming too early. I really didn't like. Wickham is kind of an ass, like after the marriage, which I find interesting and in character. But. You know, he's kind of an ass, and it makes me like continue to wonder like what on earth did Elizabeth ever see in him? Mrs. Bennet sucks, of course. Bingley is not as excited with the proposal too, and we don't get to see the
They're just kind of
proposal.
standing next to each other,
Yeah,
when
it's
like
like
Elizabeth comes back in, and it's just like, oh,
okay,
okay,
yay.
hooray? Question
And
mark.
yeah, it. There are a number of things that are there's not great. There's like no kissing in the show, which is incredibly disappointing.
So
They're
disappointed.
very stiff at the wedding.
Barely a kiss on the hand.
Yeah, they're very stiff at the wedding.
Colin Firth looks miserable.
What I noted in this in the end is there's a lot of passion in the angry arguments. The angry arguments between Elizabeth and Darcy are very passionate, but there's not a lot of passion in the positive things that you think of as love and marriage and reasons to be together and similarities and those kinds of things. There's no equal passion there. And I think that that's part of what I find disappointing here. But that's pretty much it.
Let's move on to Pride and Prejudice 2005.
Let's guess where this is going to rank.
I have
I'm just going to say this up front that I've got 2.5 pages of prose and maybe half a page to three quarters of a page of
I have
cons.
five cons. And
How do you do
countless.
those first?
No. So let's get started with the pros. The cast in all caps. Let's remind the people at home who's in the cast. Who are the notable people in the cast? Matthew McFadden/Fadian slash I'm not sure how to pronounce
I'm
your
gonna
name.
play it. I pulled it up. I'm gonna play it because just so that we know,
Okay.
how does Matthew McFadden say it? Let me turn off
That's my
mine.
curious thing. I want to make sure I'm pronouncing it the way he wants.
Name pronunciation. For more confusing names, make sure to stay tuned. English actor Matthew McFadden.
McFadden.
Matthew McFadden.
Okay.
Okay.
Matthew
See
McFadden.
all more videos on how.
Shut up, sir. Okay. Matthew McFadden, Keira Knightley, Rosamund Pike, Rupert Friend, Donald Sutherland, Dame Judi Dench, and Penelope Wilton. Those are
Oh
some
my
big
God.
notable
Yeah.
people who you might know.
Yeah.
The cast is a huge pro for me. I love the cast. The chemistry. Oh, Keira Knightley and Matthew McFadden have such great chemistry. Also, the family has great chemistry, which is so
Yeah,
important.
the siblings, and there are a bunch of like Carey Mulligan's one of the sisters. The girl who played what, not the Fox girl, one of the other girls from Hunger
That's
Games.
in the second Hunger Games.
Yeah,
She's, I almost called her Lydia again.
the girl who plays Lydia is in there.
I know her name. I can't
I'll look
name.
it up. Fine, go ahead.
Oh,
But
it's gonna
can I
bother
get in
me.
my two ones that
Get your
I.
two big ones in.
Okay, so the soundtrack, which
I also have the
I have
music.
that on a number of classical mixes that I've got, and because it's fabulous. I mean, this is a fantastic thing. And the way it is filmed, the cinematography in this
Yes,
movie is
cinematography.
gorgeous. It's very natural. The lighting is very natural, and it gives you that bucolic thing that you want from the English countryside. It's really beautiful.
Yes, the writing. It is a big ask to compress this down to a 2-hour film, but I think they did it rather well with few things that they had to give up. And those things are not as important to me, if I'm being honest. And also the stuff, the dialogue they added, I really enjoy. Let's see, the humor. I have several things for the humor. The prepping for the proposal bit.
Jenna Malone.
What?
Jenna Malone's the other one. Is Lydia.
Okay, I was looking more for her Hunger Games character's name.
I'll look.
I forgot her name.
I'll look. Keep going.
So yeah, prepping for the proposal is its own pro. I'll talk about that in a second. Good heavens, people. That's a big one that Donald Sutherland does. If Jane does die, it will be a comfort to know it was in pursuit of Mr. Bingley. What excellent boiled potatoes. It has been many years since I have had such an exemplary vegetable.
That's so fucking awesome.
What have you done to poor Mr. Darcy? I have no idea. The reaction to Pemberley, Elizabeth just laughs.
I know now. Johanna Mason.
Joanna,
Joanna.
yeah.
Yeah.
The reaction to Pemberley, where Elizabeth just laughs and is like, oh, okay, this is what I could have had. Everyone behaved naturally. First, I must tell you, I have been the most unmitigated and comprehensive ass. I
So
love that
cute.
so much. That is the way you should start every re resolution to an argument. Anyway, world feels lived in and people talk over each other. It's something that happens naturally, and as long as you get the parts that are important, like in the dialogue, you're good. And I think it's nice. I see why Mr. and Mrs. Bennet are together, like they have good chemistry, and I can see that they have an understanding in many ways. And they're also just more outwardly affectionate to each other. Mr. Bennet has a nice unspoken favoritism towards Elizabeth and is not very outwardly about, like, oh yeah, oh no, and my favorite Elizabeth, who is not as silly as the rest. I love Bingley. I really love him. He is so fucking cute. He is the Irish setter. And he
he's
has floppy
adorable.
ears. He has a floppy tail. He's the cutest.
Adorable.
He's the cutest man. And he is very, very sweet. Bingley and Jane are adorable. Rosamund Pike and this actor who plays Bingley have really great chemistry. And
his name is Simon Woods.
Simon Woods, fantastic.
Yes.
So good. Charlotte and Elizabeth's friendship is well established, and Elizabeth defends her, and so does Jane, and Charlotte has more dimensions to her. Like, when she is explaining to Elizabeth that she's engaged to Mr. Collins after Elizabeth just rejected him, and she's like, oh, well, he's a silly person. Like, why would you want to be with him for the rest of your life? And she's just like, not everyone has the options you have or want. Like, not everyone gets to marry for love. I'm already a burden to my family. I need to settle. And he's offering me protection. And who are you to judge me
to
for
me.
That? Don't judge me.
Yeah.
Which I love. Great sibling dynamics. Like, they're constantly amazing. Again, amazing chemistry among the family. But the siblings in particular have great individual dynamics that you get to see throughout. Random Tommy Lassels, which is
yes,
very funny.
Random
he's
Tommy
a footman.
Lassels is the best.
He's a footman at Netherfield Park.
Yes,
and
it's so great.
It's very funny.
A Miss Bennett.
Are we to receive every Miss Bennett in the country?
oh, she's so good.
We'll talk about Caroline Bingley in
yes.
a sec. Well, I might as well mention her now. She's fantastic.
Yeah,
she plays Beth in Yellowstone. She's
yeah.
wonderful.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
The hand thing, the
yes,
Darcy hand
yes.
thing, the indecipherable like clenching of the hand and release. Yeah. Oh,
where
he's so good. What does he mean?
What he means is like, I'm feeling emotions and I don't know what to do with them.
Mary is interested in Mr. Collins again.
Yeah,
more casual.
Really kind of sad.
More casual and realistic to show the difference between the country life and London life. Because when you have like a country ball, it is very like loud and boisterous, and people are just talking, and it's fun and talking over each other. That it's very loud, and then you have Netherfield Park, where like when Elizabeth goes to visit Jane after she gets sick, everything's really stiff and we're taking a turn about the room. We're not just like sitting in our parlor just hanging out like you do at home.
Yeah.
It's like a museum in there.
Mm-hmm.
Background moments with Jane and Bingley are very cute. Like, they're constantly dancing together. He's watching her, and it's very cute.
And he grabs her ribbon like a leash.
It's so cute.
They're so cute.
The Netherfield ball dance sequence is fantastic, and
yeah.
I have no notes. the dialogue.
It's
so good. And again, the chemistry is... Mwah! Chef's kiss. So good. The piano scene shows Elizabeth can't play well, which makes Darcy hyping her up to Georgiana even cuter.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, I said you play quite well. And she's like, oh, well, quite well isn't very well. I'm satisfied. It's
yeah,
so cute.
Yeah.
And his little smile afterwards.
Yeah, because he's a tiny bit embarrassed. Georgiana, his sister, is played by Tamsin Merchant, and she is in a bunch of things. She's in The Tudors. She's in, what was the thing with Orlando Bloom? It was another series.
Oh, The Fairy One?
Yeah, The Fairy One.
I don't remember the name of it, sorry.
Yeah, so she's usually...
Dark Shadows.
Yeah, no,
it was not that,
but it was good.
I was giving it a name.
I enjoyed that show, actually. But she...
Where he's like the detective or...
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay,
yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. and she's very good at a whole bunch of things. She does have... quite the range, but she has
innocence.
In this great innocence, and she's actually looks like she's playing the piano and playing it very well.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
The first proposal in all caps, the dramatic rain
he
in the gazebo, his vulnerable little face being like, hey, this took a lot of effort. I am followed you in the rain to this random ass gazebo near a lake. I want to tell you this. I love you most ardently.
So how this is phrased, and it's beautifully phrased in the book, and it's repeated in many of the scripts that we see. It's like, it will not stand. I can't hold this back anymore. And this idea that he's followed her in the rain, and to, you know, like, as opposed to like randomly showing up wherever you're staying.
To Mr. Collins's house.
To Mr. Collins's house. This is so much
And her
more...
eye makeup is perfect. Like, yeah. It's, oh, so good.
Yeah.
And like, Elizabeth defending her sister and being like, that's because she's shy. She doesn't express her true feelings to me. Yeah. Why would she be able to express it to somebody else who she barely knows? And, it's so good. Oh.
And he's taken aback by it, and he realizes, oh, I need to.
And they're this close from kissing at the end
right.
of it.
Oh, right. Like, it's like so rather good. Than backing away from the fight, he steps forward to it.
He, like, tilts his head slightly. Like,
I'm going to.
And then he's like, I'm so sorry for taking up your time, and walks away.
They're like, breathe. And you can see, like, he intended for this to end in a kiss.
That was how
that was the goal
to me.
And she's even, like, kind of tempted, yeah, and she's like, what is this feeling so sudden and new, wicked? Pemberley is gorgeous, like,
yeah, oh my god, gorgeous. Pemberley,
and again her reaction of just ha! Okay. Her aunt and uncle, the aunt being played by Penelope Wilton, who plays Matthew's mother, Isabel, in Downton Abbey.
Mrs. Crawley.
I don't know why I said like that. I was like a page boy for a second. Darcy and Georgiana's relationship is so sweet. Like, she's playing the piano, and I made this joke of she never gets to finish a movement because she always, like, stops playing and gets up to, like, meet somebody. She's playing, and Elizabeth is watching her through this, like, slit in the door. And she's watching her play, and she's like, oh, wow, she's really good. Like, I mean, he said she was good, but damn.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's playing, like, the theme that was playing at the very beginning of this movie. And Darcy just kind of shows up in the background, and she turns around, and she's like, oh, my gosh! And he, like, grabs her and, like, spins her around, and is like, that's the thing that's not stiff. That I really like, this is how people act when they haven't seen each other for a while and you really love somebody. You give them a big old hug. Right. And yeah, I don't know why I'm saying this like this.
Well, but it's I think that warmth is something that it's bubbling under the surface in Matthew McFadden's performance. And you see, like, that is what he's restraining, as opposed to, like, Conference restraining just being angry.
I mean, that's all we get to see. And it's something that Elizabeth doesn't get to see all that often of him. I mean, he's very socially awkward, let's be clear. And I love that about him. I love that he even at the first ball, he's like just feeling unsure of himself. And it's because he's shy.
And he says so. Like, I don't have that kind of those kind of happy manners. That's the phrase he uses.
It's not the I don't have the ability of easily conversing with people I don't already know. And she's like, well, maybe you should take your aunt's advice and practice, bitch. Not bitch, but you know what I mean.
And that is part of the dialogue in the conversation they have at Rosings.
Which I also
in both the 95 and the 2005, I think it is delivered
better,
more warmly, or just with that kind of self-effacing humor that I think is much more present in the 2005.
Keira Knightley's so good in this movie.
Yeah, she's so great.
That I didn't even put that in my pros, but it truly, I was going to, but there's this moment after she says that and she keeps playing kind of poorly, but yeah. Okay.
Decent.
Better than I would.
Yeah.
And he, like, starts moving away. He looks back at her with this really soft look on his face, and I'm just like, oh, my
he's
heart.
So, like, he's so cute. Boy. We're not gonna call him a puppy, although
he's not a puppy.
No.
He would be a wounded puppy.
Yeah.
I love that Elizabeth doesn't give Wickham the time of day. Like, after he comes back with Lydia with his wife Lydia, she just does not acknowledge his existence. And I like that a lot.
Like, these family dynamics are hilarious because Lydia is going off about how great her life is, and all I could think about is Wickham, and you know, she's just rambling. And Elizabeth is getting disgusted with her and takes her glass of wine, switches it with a glass of water. And then Lydia, you know, tells her about Darcy being at the wedding and switches them back. It's like those little touches. It's so neatly.
There are also some moments when Mr. Collins comes in at that first boiled potatoes.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
One of the,
Jane, like, Elizabeth's kind of insulting him, like, not really directly, but she is.
Yeah.
And Jane, like, hits her under the table.
Yeah.
And went right before, it's a breakfast scene, in the next scene of, after the Netherfield ball. And it's when Mr. Collins is asking for a private audience with Elizabeth. And she's just grabbing onto Jane for dear life, being like, Jane, please don't leave me. Jane, Jane.
And she turns to her father. Donald Sutherland is great as the dad in this. She turns to her father and she's like, don't leave me. And he's like, oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
Sorry, sweetie. Let's see how you do.
Preparing for the proposal in all caps on both sides. There is a moment when Bingley returns. And he, like, shows up to the house, and everybody, all the girls are just kind of chilling in the drawing room, like, doing nothing. And then they hear that Mr. Bingley's back, and they all freak out and start straightening the room and making people look presentable. And
hiding ribbons.
Yeah, and then they look all put together for when he comes in.
He comes in, they're all sitting neatly.
It's so cute. I love
Jane is front and center.
Of course. And I love that so much. And then when Bingley looks like he's about to throw up because Mrs. Bennet is not stopping talking, and he really just, he lost all his nerve. He leaves, and then him and Darcy near the pond near the estate are just going through what he's going to say, and he's just like, okay, so I'm going to walk in, and Miss Bennet, and then he and Darcy go, Mr. Bingley.
So good.
It's the cutest thing. You get to see their friendship, which you don't usually get to see.
Right.
And so I love that. Lady Catherine de Bourgh coming in the middle of the night instead of in the middle of the day.
Well, it's pretty dense, too. Like, damn.
In the middle of the night, berating you right before you're about to go to bed. And you're just being like, I'm not going to deal with this shit. And then she just leaves.
Well, and so in the context of this proposal, and this is part of what makes this performance and all of the stuff that goes with it so good, is that she comes in the middle of the night, but this is after Elizabeth has spent all day, like, she saw Mr. Darcy with Bingley. She asks, so how long are you going to be here? He's like, I'm going back to town tomorrow. And she's like, oh, he hates me. He hates all of us. He's just, you know, being nice to his friend, and that's it. And that's the end of it. And I'm never going to see him again, basically. And so she has been in a, I guess, sexy French depression since she actually got the letter from him after the proposal and realized, oh my God, this whole thing with Wickham, shit. Mm-hmm. I have fucked up and I've misjudged him. And she's been in a depression ever since then. And it's gone up and down. It was getting a little better when she was with Pemberley, and then this Lydia shit happened. And so after Lady Catherine shows up, some part of her is thinking, why did she show up here? He's got to hate me even more now because he's going to be talked out of it by her. You know, what the fuck?
Yeah. which leads us to, in all caps, confession of feelings. So it's the middle of the night, Elizabeth, or the very early morning, Elizabeth can't sleep. She leaves to, like, walk around because that's what she does. She loves walking. And we see from the distance, Darcy has walked all the way from Netherfield Park, which is probably like 5 miles, and which is like what Elizabeth did to go see Jane. And he proves that he likes walking too. And
the hem of his coat is 6 inches deep in mud.
And he walks up and he's just like, I couldn't sleep. I need to know if your feelings have changed because mine haven't. You've bewitched me body and soul, and I love you.
Oh, it's so good. A great performance, and it's sunrise, and the lighting is perfect.
And Elizabeth just, like, comes towards him, and he's like, well then.
And she kisses his hand.
Your hands are cold. And they just, like, go nose to nose, and that's all you need. Yeah. It's so good.
They're a breath away again.
Oh, so good.
And then
Elizabeth, my next pro is Elizabeth telling Mr. Bennet what Darcy has done for them. I like that she is honest with him.
Oh,
and
she's so giggly. She's so sweet.
She's a girl in love.
Yeah.
She's just a girl in love. She can't be held responsible for her actions.
But she's also able to say it, which she hasn't been up until this point.
She doesn't say, oh, I like him very much. She does say that, but then she's like, I love him. We are so similar. We're both so stubborn.
She's laughing at herself, which, you know, again, I think that self-awareness is missing from
and she's
so
about
many.
To cry because she's realizing all these things, and she's like, oh my god, and he loves me too, and I know that. And Mr. Bennett is just
he's
crying because
so
oh, it's so such a sweet moment, and he's like, you really do love him, oh my god, I didn't think anyone else would deserve you, but
okay,
I'm so happy for you.
I've been overruled.
It's so sweet. And then I also love, all caps, post-marriage at Pemberley. Them, like, out on the terrace, talking about what terms of endearment she can get. Not the movie, because that makes me cry.
It does.
And, they settle on, you can only call me Mrs. Darcy when you are completely, perfectly, and incandescently happy. And he starts saying, how are you tonight, Mrs. Darcy, and kissing like her cheeks, her head, her nose, and then eventually her lips. And it's like the perfect kiss.
It's so good.
If me and my husband, my future husband, whoever he may be, do not do this on our wedding night or something like this on our wedding night, I do not know what I'm doing married to him. I'm kidding. That's a really weird qualification.
I didn't understand any of that. Okay.
Then you aren't on the list.
Okay. Good to know. So when we are ranking these.
Well, no, cons.
Oh, cons. Let's do this pretty quickly.
No, there are many.
There are not.
What are your cons?
I the things I wrote down. There is not, in my opinion, there's not quite enough of Elizabeth being stupid about Wickham.
Sure.
Everyone's a little too well-dressed at the ball. I mean, I think they do a good job with very realistic costumes otherwise, but I mean, the number of pearls Elizabeth has in her hair is like, yeah, that's a lot.
I thought they were beads.
But they're pearl beads. So she, Colonel Fitzwilliam's kind of meh.
I didn't mind him.
There's lying about talking about Mr. Bingley with Darcy at Rosings in Pemberley when she's seen him
to Jane.
And I didn't, and I didn't really like the Lady Catherine confrontation being inside. I mean, I like it at night because it's very dramatic. But one of the good things about the 1995 is that, you know, they're in a little park and they are walking around and. In 1995, Elizabeth gets to just like run away. Like, I'm not talking anymore. Bye. And that's pretty much it from the cons perspective. And that's not very many considering.
Cons, I said, wish we saw more of Jane in a way. Because I think she's good, but I think that we could have seen a little bit more so that we really felt it when she got her happy ending. Maybe
how they feel it. They do such a good job with
it. Yeah, she's crying and it's adorable. Actually, I'll take that off.
One last con to answer.
That was a weird musical Snap. Reference. Maybe have Caroline, and I noticed this I noticed it in the 1995 version, you have Caroline Bingley being nice to Jane and then giving her the cut direct. I don't actually like that. I would not add it to this one. I kind of like
it's
it the way
the
it
book.
Is. I don't care. Some unnecessary montages, I suppose. That's not a huge thing, but whatever. Elizabeth doesn't tell Jane anything about the proposal or Wickham, but at least she feels guilty about it. Like, she has this moment where she's like, I saw Mr. Darcy at Rosings, and Jane's, then she's like crying in her bed, and she's just like, and Jane's like, why didn't you tell me? And she's like, I don't know. And she's like, well, did you say anything about Mr. Bingley? She's like, no. It's like, girl, come on. And we don't get to see the wedding.
It's
cons.
Not that many. So ultimately, how do we rank these?
Mine is pretty easy.
Mine
it's 2005, true. 1995, 1940, and then 1980.
Yep. Yeah, that's the way it goes with the free versions that are available.
I can respect people who like the 1995 version better because it's closer to the book. I can appreciate that you like it to be more book accurate. I personally like efficiency and being able to sit through something. As much as I'm a binger, obviously, I think that the 2005 version just gets everything right and gets everything that I want to see out of a Pride and Prejudice thing into it. Like the beautiful landscapes, the amazing cast, the wonderful passion and chemistry and all that stuff. It has checks all the boxes for me.
So, and it's the one I'm going to rewatch the most because it's, first of all, the easiest to rewatch. Second of all, I go absolutely cuckoo bananas for it. So it is rather embarrassing. If I watch Pride and Prejudice in front of you, you know I trust you because I will go cuckoo bananas.
Yes,
and I'm okay with looking like that in front of you. And so you should be very proud.
Not proud, you know, but who, like, you are. You know who you are. So
bottom line, I would rank them similarly. And you know, I used to be on the fence more about 1995 versus 2005. I've now rewatched those two back to back or close to back to back a couple of times this year. And I do like the thoroughness of the 1995, but because, again, I think there's a bunch of conniving shit with Wickham and some conniving shit with the Bingley sister that is kind of fun. But I really feel like the production value of the 2005 plus the cast, it's just amazing. And I love the humanity of it. I feel like everybody in it is much more accessible as a human. And I think some of that is
more relatable as well.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, they are people that you can imagine actually knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's really very, very cool to me. There are, of course, a couple of other Pride and Prejudice versions out there that aren't with zombies. But we haven't been able to access all of them. We don't have Acorn. I'm sure there are like 15 others on Acorn or BritBox or whatever.
There is a BritBox Mansfield Park, and the only one I can find of Mansfield Park is the 1999 movie.
Well, Mansfield Park's next, people.
We're just going to be talking about one single Mansfield Park.
Yeah, well, we will address all of that at the proper time, which is not now, because we are done with Pride and Prejudice for the Austinathon. We hope that you join us. I think we're going back to Peaky Blinders, but we may do more Austinathon. Hard to say. But we did interrupt your regular Peaky Blinders to do this because it was fun. And we hope that you join us for the rest of it. And
cheers.